there, folks out in the world. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elp.
And we're coming to you live from our basement. Though, Elt, apparently you can go shopping now, like in certain select stores at certain times if you're wearing gloves and a mask.
Yeah, no. Everyone must remain in their basements, in their hazmat gear at all time. Until the end of time, probably.
I think you're just saying that because I showed you that cat video, and I feel like it brought up a really good emotional release for you.
If smashing your phone against the wall is a good emotional release, then I agree.
At this point, I'm willing to take any show of emotion as progress.
Yeah, that's why Emily is now, from her side of the basement, she's actually now broadcasting on this old radio that she found. I think it used to be her grandfather's from World War One, maybe.
Oh my goodness, should I just talk about that for this episode? Because it was so cool. Okay, here's the
deal. No, okay. So the reason why the only way we're going to get Emily away from that is by actually talking about a book that we can't get her stop talking about. So either way, she's going to keep talking, but it depends on what we want her to talk about. So if we want to keep it on track, this is one of the rare times that you will hear me say this, okay? This book that we're going to talk about today, Emily actually gave it to me, so now I have my own copy of it, and it was actually a great book that I really enjoyed, and I think it was one of the better decisions she made in her life. I know.
Oh my gosh!
She's going to be so wrong with emotion now, we might get her to stop talking a little bit.
This is like one of the best moments of my life.
See what happens. Does everyone understand what I have to deal with? There's nothing that could be said that doesn't elicit some sort of extreme reaction. Anyway.
I'm happy.
Yeah, okay. The book that we are talking about today is Knights. It's called Knight's Castle, and it's by Edward Eger. And this book is actually, believe it or not, first came out in 1956, and it's still in print, which should tell you loads about how good the book is. This is also, I don't even know if it's middle grade, though. I think it might even be a little bit younger.
I think it's probably younger.
Yeah, it's probably just considered a regular chapter book. I think even younger than middle grade can read it.
Yeah.
Even though they have to be pretty smart to... Well, I don't say pretty smart. It definitely raises the standard of reading this book.
Yes, I wonder if for the time when it was written, the age group that it was for is different than the age group that you would expect it to be for now, but maybe not.
Maybe they just had a more educated age group then, the younger age group. Anyway, so our ratings are great. We barely clutched any pearls for this one, even though sometimes we did just out of sheer excitement for reading such a great read. Violence is a 1, which we'll explain, obviously. Language, 0. Thank you, finally. And romance is a 1, which we'll also explain. Well, actually, let Emily, you take it away.
Okay, I first have to say, and I'll really try not to cry, but just, I, shockingly, did not like to read. When I first learned how to read, I thought reading was super boring, and I didn't understand it, and I had some friends, especially... I had friends who were like, oh, I've been reading since I was 4. I'm so cool. And when you're just learning to read at 6, the kids who could read at 4 are like a real pain. And I didn't like reading, and it might have been a reaction to those annoying kids.
It was not me. It was not me. It was not
You've
me.
You've never been annoying. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's, God. Okay, just keep going.
I found this book on the shelf of my dad's office. So I guess maybe it was his or maybe... from a kid that he was tutoring. Anyway, I found it and I loved it and I've read it so many times. And after I read this, I was like, oh, I understand why people like reading now. I get it. So this is my favorite, and I don't like picking favorites, but this is my all-time favorite book because if I'd never read this book, maybe we wouldn't even be doing this podcast because I would have never read a book. We would just be talking about like movies and TV shows and I wouldn't even know how to read.
So how would you read the captions on a foreign film?
I wouldn't watch foreign films. I would make up what they were saying.
Or you'd have to learn new languages. Easy.
Well, as long as I wouldn't have to read, apparently.
Right.
So I love this book. But I guess we'll talk about the rating. So violence is a 1 because there's some sword fights and bows and arrows, but it's like fantasy level violence. There's no description of like blood or anything like that. And everyone sort of knows that, yeah, Robin Hood used a bow and arrow, but it's sort of romantic with a capital R. You like reading about a bow and arrow. So that's why violence is a 1. Language is a 0. That's easy. This was written for kids. And the author knew it was written for kids. So he said, hey, you know what? Actually, we should give the language a 10, but not for violence or not for bad language, but for good language, because he uses words that, again, even though it's probably written for a little bit younger than middle grade, he doesn't write down to them. Like, he uses the word yeomanly. Do you know what the word yeomanly means?
Yes? No? Yes.
That's okay. I mean, I got it from context, but I kind of had to look it up, too. But means sturdy and loyal and trustworthy. So, good things. So he uses it. Anyway, so the language is fine. And then the romance, I guess maybe I should talk about a little bit what the book is. So it's set in the 50s, but then these kids magically go, not really back in time, because it's sort of to like not a real place, but they go to the world of Robin Hood and Ivanhoe. So I guess Middle Ages England?
Well, they're setting up these toys to play with all the soldiers and the castle and that kind of stuff. They get transported to that world that they've set up.
Yes. And so it's Robin Hood and Ivanhoe. So there's chivalry and there's Ivanhoe saving Rebecca from De Bracy, even though in Ivanhoe she actually marries the person she definitely shouldn't marry, but that's beside the point. And yeah, so it's set in that world, which is a super fun world to be in. So that's why, yes, there are bows and arrows and swords and things like that, but it's exciting. And there's the romance of Ivanhoe trying to win Rebecca over. And it's just such a good... It's just so good. Like, you know when something's so good, you almost don't have the words to describe why it's so good? But I guess I like that the author, Edward Eger, takes care of his readers. He's not writing down to them. He's probably writing what he really liked. Actually, if I remember correctly, he was writing books if he wanted, like, stories that he would want to tell his own kids. So it's kind of personal. It's just, it's exciting. And there's magic, but there's also real life. The main characters, Roger and Anne, it's an older brother. He's 9, and his younger sister is 7 or 6. And they go to spend the summer with their cousins, Jack and Eliza, who are just a little bit older, because their father has taken ill. We never learn exactly what he's ill with. We just know that he's taken ill. They have to go to this really good doctor in Baltimore. And while they're in Baltimore, the mother and Roger and Anne are going to stay with their aunt, uncle, and cousins, which is also a really interesting thing, that the whole book has this backdrop, I guess, of a serious and a heavy theme. The father's ill, and it's clear that it's not just a cold. We definitely know that it's something. My guess is that if we were to put a word on it today, it would probably have been cancer, but it's never said. It's just, he has an illness, he has to go to a really good doctor, and it comes through a little bit in the story that some of the adventures they go on, they're hoping for a wish so that they can sort of fix things and make it better, but ultimately it's just about going into this adventurous, fun world where they get to be the good guys defeating the bad guys.
That's it. That's definitely a good way to describe it. It's more of like a, I don't say an old school adventure, but like an old world adventure. And also The way that he writes the book, you don't feel like, it's not kids talking, which some people like to do that. They try to imitate, you know, they try to imitate the voice of the readers. And here he's given them it's a very mature way that he wrote it. So, and not in a way that it's an adult talking down to kids. It's just in a way that you're raising the kids up, that you're giving them a certain kind of maturity, which is nice to see.
Yeah. And I do have to mention, because he mentioned several times within the book, he mentions an author named E. Nesbitt that he loves. And she was an author who wrote very similar kids' stories just about a half century earlier. So if you read this book, which you should right now, also if you're over the age of 10, it'll take you like 2 hours.
Yeah,
so there's really no reason not to read it, but you should also read her books. And then the rest of the books actually in this series, there are 7 altogether. This is actually the second in this series. The first is Half Magic and then Knight's Castle. This one is my favorite of the series, possibly again, just because it is the first one that I read and interested me in reading, but they're all really good and they all have the same tone and feel. It's just so good. It's just so good.
I'm gonna have to drag Emily away now before she keeps just weeping over the goodness of this book. Just to spare you, listeners, because that's how much I care.
But it's so good. I want to talk about it all day.
See, again, do you see what I have to deal with, everyone? Do you understand why I'm in a hazmat suit all the time?
I studied children's lit in college because of this book. I love this book. I love this book more than I love myself, possibly.
Wow.
I think I'm going to read it.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Done with this episode because I just want to read it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. How about you go read it again and I can have a few minutes to myself? That's a very good idea.
Or you have a copy. I have a copy. We could start at exactly the same time and then read it together. But like 6 feet separate, but together.
I'm going to go convince Emily that that's not a good idea, but also encourage her to read the book so that I get some quiet time.
I'm synchronizing my watch right now. Bye.